CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to Fine Edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, here in studio, a.k.a. the apartment, a.k.a. my couch, a.k.a. whatever the fuck you want to call it, Matt Campbell, better known as Waffle Obligus there on the webernets.
This almost feels more futon-y than couch.
It is a futon, actually.
Okay.
I just say couch because it rarely exits. It rarely transforms into bed mode.
Okay.
So it kind of stays in that. I think I should get a new mattress for this thing, but that's more of a personal thing. Stuff. How you been, man? I mean, you know.
I was outside, if you had asked me that.
I mean, do you want to talk about
3 hours ago? We can talk about it.
I'll leave it to you, because I only it's funny I said, how are you going? I mean, why I should not done
I
that.
Mean,
but it's such a default answer to me that I've gotten used to it.
I already tweeted it.
Okay.
So
it's already out on public blast or something.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Good. Only reason I ask, because like, the one thing I hate doing for people is like, well, let me tell you about the problem my friend has that he didn't need to tell
anybody.
No, yeah,
and I get that. Like, I'm the kind of guy where it's like, hey, can I get that number from you? I was like, let me ask him first.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, like, I completely respect that.
Yeah. So, but, go into detail. What happened?
Yeah.
Why it is we're casting so goddamn late?
I got into a wreck.
I only laughed at it as anything.
Yeah, else. No. But I'm making it absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a couch on the freeway, so that was fun. And because there was a couch on the freeway, people stopped,
of course.
And then they stopped very abruptly, and things happened that, you know, what happens when someone stops very abruptly in front of you?
Yeah,
that's what happened.
It sucks because I was trying to think in my head, like, because you had called, and you know, because again, a little, you know, though we frequently do this, and I already know it's going to come, but doing it, you know, before the show. Setting things up, whatever, get everything ready. Playing Stardew. And I get a call from you, a Google voice number.
I need to.
Like, it's okay. I need to program your number too. I just recognize it was your
number. I have both of them. I just don't know which one's the default.
It's okay.
One.
I'll tell you after this show's done. I got to
sure.
Save your number because I keep fucking forgetting to do so. And I feel bad about it. But in any case, I get a call. I bet that's Matt. And just because I recognize the Alabama number, I recognize the area code. I'm like, okay, chances are it's Matt. So I get a call. He's like, hey, so I got into a fender bender, but I think I totaled the car. And my brain goes, how does one get into a fender bender and totals a car at the same time? Until
because,
I saw the car itself, and I understood.
Because of two things. One, crumple zones. If you're not familiar with crumple zones, they're effectively, they these days design fronts of cars to absorb the impact.
Yep.
And by that, I mean, they designed them to be crushed.
Yeah.
Thus absorbing the impact, thus saving you from taking the impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Combine that with a car that is actually 10 years old this year, and in kind of crappy condition, you get something that a fender bender can create. Can
well, no, and it's effective that you say the crumple zone, because a lot of people don't, you know, a lot of the cars, like, it's funny, I think the worst accident I had saw... I was driving back from work after work. I didn't get into it, but I saw this, a car was crossing over, like an SUV of some sort. Get a car size party hat from Matt's car. I saw, I guess someone had hit it like this, so to speak, like hit it like on its side, and it was an SUV and it actually rolled over. The person was completely, utterly fine. She got out not a scratch at all. And it was the weirdest thing, because I had to park and talk to a police officer, not because of anything else, but just kind of give at least, you know, as for like, you were a witness, weren't you? Like, yeah, I'll give what I saw, at least what I remember what I saw, that kind of thing. And then I started driving, you know, out and stuff, and learned a couple things I didn't really remember about the road. But it's just the weirdest thing to say. I mean, it's strange things like I forgot that double lines like lead to an expressway kind of bullshit.
Oh.
Because I never thought about that until I asked the officer's like, yeah, that's literally one. He's like, oh, cool, thanks, officer. You know, it wasn't a big deal, but it was such a weird, it was such a weird thing to be like in sort of traffic as it is on where I'm out of work. And since I get out in the morning, I deal with the morning traffic still. And just to see this accident.
It's got to suck.
It does, and it is what it is, but it's not as bad. I'm like, it's just because like where I work is off of Capitol, Texas, and there's really no other outlets outside of it. Like at least Mopac, there's side roads,
sure,
and then other expressways in the world there are. This was one of those ones that don't have it. And
I guess you're kind of going against the traffic though, because isn't everyone going? You're kind of like me.
Well, the thing is that there's no. It's a major throughway.
Okay,
so meaning that there are. The traffic that's going on, it doesn't matter what side of the road you're on, there's traffic because some people are trying to go north, some people are trying to go south, they're all trying to just roughly go to work. Like, if you think, again, like Mopac is that road where there's enough people who are going off 183 to north to work, there are people who are getting off 183 to go south to work, they're all, you know, it doesn't fucking matter. There's no, you know.
Sure.
But it was just weird to see, like, that kind of wreck. The worst one I think I was in, now I think about it, and I was talking to this about the car, and I remembered it now. It was with my girlfriend at the time, where we were driving to San Antonio, and we had braked, you know, we're at a stoplight, quite literally, and this car comes, rear-ends us. I guess their brakes had failed, apparently. So they rear-end us. We kind of do this turn action like this. They do this. And this is on an expressway that has like those loop around things at the very top,
banked curves
is it called?
Yeah,
but it's at the, you know, it's above the expressway, like if you think of like the bridge, like if you think of an off ramp, and sometimes there's a bridge that goes over as opposed to like under or whatever.
Like, oh, you mean like
an overpass, like
the big spaghetti,
yeah, whatever, yeah, something like that. But anyways, that like if we were talking like Mopac, there's those overpasses, sure, that go there. So they took the turn and. They went up like the thing, and if they had just gone, and they end up turning over like that too. If they had just ramped differently, they'd be on the expressway, and they'd be gone. We wouldn't be gone; we'd be fine. But if they had ramped differently, well, like I saw a car almost get some air, and potentially like, well, they might go by. You know, like it was like this woof, and it almost, it, you know, if it had just been different for them, like we would have had this like really fucked up moment. Like it was still crazy, but that like that's what ran through my head, and it was just like this weird thing of like if that had happened that way, we'd have saw someone die, because it would have been that kind of crash where it's like, nope, they're hitting the expressway and they're going to impact on something else, and we're going to see someone, you know, we're going to see, you know, something like, oh no, you know, I don't know if I'm prepared for that quite yet.
Right.
That has got to be the craziest crash I've been involved in terms of like, I didn't cause it because I was rear-ended. And it was a pure utter accident, you know, nothing wrong. But it's just the idea of like, see, you know, because you always see like those tire marks on the side of those ramps. Sometimes like, oh, I wonder what happened there. I know what happens now. I can now physically put it there. It's such a weird thing to see. Because just the idea of like if it just ramped differently. And the thing is like, because you saw, I saw like curve and did the zoom, and I guess if just got more air of like zoom. And that's no bueno. Makes you feel better now. I'm kidding.
Not really. I'm kidding. Like my car's still probably total.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. More of a like because like you know it's that stuff. Actually, what's funny is this week's been kind of a bit of a bitch for me. In general, it's been a really weird month.
I'll agree with that.
I mean beyond your immediate stuff.
Oh yeah, no, even before today. Like it's been a weird month.
Like what's been the weirdest thing for you this month?
Well, like today, outside of that though, like it's just been like I'm working on a little side project that is.
Oh, that's right. You're
yeah.
working on
and,
that
and,
thing still.
And that actually kind of started at the beginning of the started probably like in the 20th. It's really, really late last month. So I've been kind of churning on that, and it's the first time I've been doing like development work that I've enjoyed working on and not actively being paid by a third party.
I've thought about poking around in some devs. Like I thought about because At RTX, I talked to a guy that was working on a game. But I'll explain what it was, because I know what you're working on. I know it's something different. I don't want to, again, if you feel like talking about it, you by all means feel free to talk about it. I'm not going to, because I know what it is.
Once it's in the prototyping stage, sure. Once I get into the stage of everyone in the world needs to know about this thing and use it, then yeah.
Till then, it's under wraps,
kinda.
But we can tell them then it's actually you're making a Hexen server, aren't you? You know that old first person shooter Hexen. That's what you're doing. You're bringing back Hexen.
I'll go so far as to say that. He is doing an inside joke for him, himself, and it is a platform that is revolved around a game called Hex Shards of Fate, which is a digital trading card game.
Right.
Not
Hexen.
Well, like sure. And Hex is unique in the fact that unlike Hearthstone, it is actually a proper trading card game. I'm not a huge fan, but that is namely due to the fact that of a few variables.
Yeah.
Hearthstone isn't a trading card game. It is a collectible card game. There's no way for me to take a card and give it to Roberto and him to do the same back to me. Hex is, and that's one of the main reasons why I enjoy it better.
Like Ash is like blankly staring at me because I said Hexen. Did you ever play Hexen back in the day?
I'm familiar with the terminology of Hexen.
Do you know what Hexen is?
No.
I think there's actually two technically Hexens, because I think there is that one failed, and this is such a funny thing to say, there's that one failed Wizards of the Coast game, even though I think there's like two, really. I can't remember if it was Wizards of the Coast that made it. I know Richard Garfield made it, but it was like this weird, fucked up game where I think you had like Hex tiles as your things you played. I think that was called Hex something, Hexit, or...
Well, Hexen is a larger, overarching phrase that is used in fantasy literature.
Right, because there's the FPS that's like the Hexen first-person shooter game.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, that's an old... That was during the days of, like, I think it used the Quake, either used the Doom or Quake engine, and it was this... It's funny when you look back on like old school video games and you look back at some of just the ridiculous stuff that we did. And it was an FPS, and like I said, it was either the Doom or Quake engine. I can't even remember. It's been so fucking long since I thought about the game. Where all the weapons were these like weird fantasy kind of magical things, but there wasn't any real magic. It was just like, well, you need to make another Doom-esque game because that's what's selling these days. But we don't want to make Doom. What can we do, Id? I don't know. Put fantasy on top of it. Cool.
Sure. Like, let's have a gun that shoots like, fireballs.
Like the first Dark Forces, which was just FPS.
Sure. No, Dark. I played the crap out of Star Wars Dark Forces.
There you go.
And I went in and tried to play it more recently. And when I say recently, I mean within the last like 2 years. Using the DOS
DOS box,
it didn't work. I couldn't get it to work, and even like I was able to get it to work just like barely. And then I remembered, holy crap, this doesn't have a third dimension. I can't look up.
Yeah,
it had been so long.
Yep.
That nostalgia had taken over to the point that I completely forgot about the third dimension.
Yep, that was the best one to look.
To put it in another way, I added a third dimension in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. You just like, I remember looking up like, no, there was no, ooh, there's no page up, page down. There was a jump. It was before the days of jump. That was straight id technology. My favorite one actually is out of all that was Jedi Knight, because it's like you played Jedi.
You understand though that the first Jedi Knight was like years later.
I know. I realized
they had a third dimension.
It still looked like garbage. It still looks like garbage. The polygons on that are still fun to see.
Like, I mean, if we're going to go into Star Wars video games, there still isn't a better Star Wars video game than Knights of the Old Republic.
For sure.
Okay. As long as we've established that.
I think the worst one that I ever played that a friend of mine lent me, I think it was it Battle Forces? The RTS bullshit one they made?
I mean, the worst Star Wars game is pretty obviously the one where you dance for the...
No, that's amazing in that it exists and it's a thing. I'm talking about, like, this is during the early... I mean, yes.
And the one you're probably thinking about is Empire at War?
Is it Empire War, maybe?
So there was...
It was an older... Because they have, like, two of them. They've had, like... And one of them... This was,
so
like,
the first one that they did RTS-wise...
Yeah.
That I remember actually being really good was more or less an Age of Empires clone. Like, I think it might have been on that engine.
No, this is definitely not Age of... This is definitely right. RTS, like, StarCraft-y RTS.
Right. Well, the one that they did there was Empire at War, and I never played it, so I can't speak to that.
I played a little bit of it. The greatest thing about that game... and you can tell what era of gaming it was from, was that they had the Darth Vader theme, if you will, the dun, 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 you know, that thing. But they, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about it.
You are laughing.
I'll try to find out on YouTube because they had it was like this like weird kind of rocky kind of version. It was like it had this like weird like techno rock underbeat of it, like trying to make it sound modern.
I've heard. I've heard a techno version of, and I'm about to sneeze.
Bless you. Bless you again.
You need to have like the button so I can mute myself.
Ah, fuck that. It was Imperial Galactic Conquest, is I think what it was. Is that that's this Empire
yeah,
War is
because Empire at War was it was in the last decade at least. It was probably in the last 6 years.
Man, okay, but maybe it wasn't that one of the last 6 years. Star Wars. Maybe it was just
but I remember, and that this is probably has nothing to do with the game. But I remember it, and I only remember it because you brought it up, and I don't remember where I heard it. I don't remember where.
Maybe
it came
wasn't
from.
Quite an RTS. Maybe it was, that's why it was garbage.
But I remember a disco or a techno version of the Imperial theme, and it was awesome.
Maybe it was because there's a turn based game. It was a turn.
Is that how that's spelled? I've never seen it spelled.
Gesundheit. This is what happens when you start looking up video games from the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, this is really great radio here.
It always is great radio. I'll look it up later. No, actually, what was funny, and this is sort of what I kind of want to talk about because I should probably present kind of what this show was pitched at because at one point my producer Ash messaged me on Slack. Asking if I had the components to make a White Russian, you know, coffee liqueur, vodka.
Did she tell you in the situation in which that question was asked?
Probably. It sounds like you had. You might as well tell a story.
Well, we had just gotten out of the one night showing. It will never say never. It will most likely not be in a theater ever again. Batman: The Killing Joke.
Ah, yes.
And it was.
I've heard mixed.
So I had never written the comic book.
Okay.
So
of all the things I've heard, I've heard Tara Strong does a great job at her Barbara Gordon.
I mean, yeah. Like the voice acting.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Everything as far as production and animation and the actual voice acting, all absolutely amazing. Like the only thing that It is mixed for me because of the plot, which obviously comes back to the comic. And like I said, I'd never read the comic, so I didn't really know what it was going to be going into it. And it felt like it almost felt like if it had been live action, it would have warranted a PG-13. It almost feels like they intentionally tried to push it just to the edge of being an R-rated film so they could claim that it was an R-rated film.
Right.
And a lot of that comes back to the fact that I think that has to do with the fact that they waited until 2016 to make this film because when the book came out, it was revolutionary. Nothing was that dark. For 1980s, it was probably a very, very dark film. But for 2016, where, you know, we have... Cable television is able to say fuck three times in two episodes. It wasn't that dark.
Huh. Okay. So, because I heard that there is that, and this is the one thing I've heard, again, this is what you hear through Comic-Con and all stuff, that in the, and I will preface that this may be a spoiler. If you haven't watched any news, or you've been keeping yourself completely out of the loop on the thing and everything else. Because in Killing Joke, if you've never read the comic, and I know just of of the comic itself. There's a scene in there that is probably the reason why a lot of people thought it was going to get an R rating.
I know.
Then the scene is Barbara Gordon, who is typically portrayed as Batgirl, or one of the various versions of Batgirl.
Actually the first, right?
I think the first. I forget. Comics is that one area of geekdom that I only know glancing information of, and of that glancing information I keep in the head somewhere.
Sure.
And so within Killing Joke, the scene in the comic is the Joker rapes Barbara Gordon, which is not even,
it is my understanding that the rape is always, even in the comic, implied.
Yes.
In the film, it was definitely an implication.
Yeah.
Not a, hey, this happened.
Yeah. And that's always been there, raped, and I think she's like paralyzed and a whole bunch of
crazy shit. For those that don't know, Barbara Gordon was Batgirl,
yeah,
and she becomes Oracle,
right?
Which is a someone that she's Batman's IT girl.
Yes.
She sits in the back while he's out in the field and feeds him information by the internet and all other such things. And she does this because Joker shoots her in the spine and then rapes her.
Yeah. And it's almost to the point where it's like, we don't really need that. We don't really need that to progress the storyline kind of sense for understand. And again, this one, I understand the comic. It's such one of those things people like talk about a lot, but then you start analyzing it and people have said like, it really wasn't needed. It just was that like, it was at the the shock again.
And that's why I think the rape was implied.
Right.
Like, They definitely did not show anything. Ash in our chat is saying that like there wasn't even boobies, which is implied. You know, in our Game of Thrones world, the least they could do is show that.
Right.
But, like, that's
this is where we get into the next thing, and I think the thing that probably the weirdest thing when it comes to ratings. Is
well, if you go in and watch,
I'll tell you this. This is from my own knowledge of now looking at movies, looking at violent movies, looking at a lot of these things of how ratings go, and just sort of understanding it. Ratings boards seem to not get too angry when you're viciously killing things that don't exist, or that are like
there's it's also you have to come back to the fact that if you go in and watch, there's a video on YouTube. Just Google it; it's really easy to find. I'm gonna butcher their names, and I shouldn't because you know they're icons or whatever. But Matt Stone and Trey Parker or whatever,
yes,
the South Park guys, go in and they talk about how when they were writing how they did an independent movie and trying to get that rated and all the bullshit they were drugged through and said, oh, you know, we can't really tell you what you need to change. You just need to go in and change some arbitrary number of things and then come back and then we'll re-rate it.
And then
when they were going to in and actually made the South Park movie, and the South Park movie had the backing of, you know, Warner Brothers or Viacom, so Paramount,
yeah.
They went in and said, hey, what do we need to do to get this R from NCNA or whatever? And they're like, oh, take this, 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 and this, and this. So, like, it's all a big boys club.
Yeah, well, because, like, one of my all-time favorite Trey Parker, Matt Stone movies is an NC-17 film. Orgasmo.
I don't know anything about, like...
You've never seen Orgasmo? Oh,
nope.
My God. Orgasmo may be one of the greatest films on the planet. Orgasmo is that film that if you watch, you start to learn a lot about how South Park came, and you almost get to see where Book of Mormon kind of came about.
Okay.
Basically, the idea of the movie is you have this this Mormon guy who's on a mission, I guess, and he's like in L.A. or something. And, you know, starts, you know, trying to get a job, whatever. Somehow... I don't know exactly how, but he stumbles into. I think it's not rated. So it's NC-17. I forget where it gets such weird ratings sometimes. It doesn't fucking matter. But the movie premise is this Mormon guy somehow gets into doing adult films and not knowing. And it's this very funny. Hilarious.
Wait, so he's doing adult films, but he doesn't know he's doing adult. Like, so here's when you say,
in the idea that, that he gets to do an adult film, and the way they convince him to do it, it's like, well, we just won't show any penetration. We won't show you naked. We won't show any penetration. We'll get a stunt cock. And every time he's about to have to...
When you say that word, it reminds me of the first episode of Black Mirror, actually.
I'm only laughing because, like, at one point, one of the stunt cocks, as he's, like, walking off the set, is this big black guy. I'm only laughing because it's, like, I think it's... Because I forget which one's Trey and which one's Matt. And I'm only laughing because, like, it's just, like, it's that... And there's at one point where there's a scene. I might have to show you the scene later after it where, because, like, the storyline is the idea that the character Trey Parker Matt Stone's playing, the Mormon character, in the pornos is this guy by the name of Orgasmo that has a orgasmo ray that when you fire it, it immediately gives the person an orgasm. And even in the movie itself, they actually make an orgasm ray. It's weird. It's funny as fuck, to be honest. If you've ever seen, like, Basketball, for example, it has, like, a lot of those characters in there and everything else. But at one point, you know, they're doing a scene, and the porn star and it was really, to the credit of the film, a lot of the characters who are, like, of the porn thing are actually people in the porn industry, which is kind of funny and sort of interesting. But there's a scene where, you know, they're like the Garden of Eden, somehow the orgasm was being captured, and the evil porn director is just like, yeah, you gotta, you know, like, we're gonna make the scene real hot before your sunk cock comes in or whatever. So you gotta, you know, you gotta hold on for this. Like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, your scene's with this girl named T-Rex. And you know, the main character was like, why do they call her T-Rex? And just hears, like, this boom, this giant kind of booming sort of thing, like literally like a Tyrannosaurus Rex coming in. And this just ginormous woman, you know, just like, ha, fellas, ready, like, has the low South Park voice, was like, oh, fellas, ready to fuck, you know, who's ready to fuck? Like, it has, like, almost like a Cartman-esque sounding tone voice.
Is this an animated film?
No, this is live action.
Okay.
This is amazing. That's what makes it so amazing. It's live action. And there's just so many amazing, there's so many, like, it's one of those things when you watch it, like, at one point, like, at a party, there's, like, a naked mariachi band. It's one of the, my, like, one of the films that I adore so much, because it's such a funny, like, Trey Parker, Matt Stone film, but it's, like, you see sort of the, oh, this is what those guys can do when you unleash. I wonder if that was the indie film, because I wonder, I wish I knew what film it was. That may be, for all I know.
You'd have to go in and
I don't look, because it's a great movie, in that it's just like it's obscene. It, you know, at one point, one of the characters makes a real life orgasmo ray, and they just start fucking around. Like, it's weird in that it's funny, and all this would make sense if you watched it. And I realize I'm, like, trying to replay jokes of, like, a movie that you've never seen.
Sure.
But it's interesting in that, if you watch it with that mindset, you start to see a lot of the humor that would then go into South Park and Book of Mormon and Basketball and things like that. You seem to
How did we get to this subject? I forget.
It happens, dude. This is the podcast stuff. No, actually, the reason I brought up the whole kind of week being weird, And typically, this is, like I said, we'd mentioned the White Russian, Killing Joke, all that stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, that's where we got.
This was pitched to me to be a chill podcast. Very relaxed.
The reason why she posed that to you,
yes,
is because so Chris was on a few weeks ago, and that got into very dry, very, hey, let's talk about this programming stuff, and I'm pretty sure Ash just didn't want to hear that again.
Well,
because that's what we probably would have gotten into.
See, the thing is that that's and to me that wasn't even what went through my mind. And normally this would have been a very probably humorous show, and I'd say that's not been humorous for sure. There's been jokes, whatnot, but something weird happened to me today. Something that put me kind of over the edge a little bit. And I rarely get over the edge on certain things. So I should probably preface this. So there is this art piece a friend of mine shared an image for by a guy by the name of Michael Murphy. I'll show you the video on the other site, but if you want to look it up, Michael Murphy, and they put it on the other 98%, and it's really cool kind of artwork piece. And it's there set up right now in Philadelphia, and it's a really kind of cool little thing that. Is sort of a, if you look at it one perspective, it looks like the United States of America. If you look at it from the other perspective, you start to realize it's made of guns. And as the camera rotates and as they go to the next perspective, it turns into the shape of a pistol, you know, and it says America, we have, you know, the lines added by the other 98% was America, we have a problem, which, you know, I believe we do. We could
get into gun control. I'm game.
And so normally I was like, okay, cool. The only problem is I won't tell who this friend is. I won't put this person's information on blast in any capacity.
Sure. I will say that that art piece was very masterfully done, regardless of whatever meme-ish I'm going to cover up your awesome art piece with my message.
Yeah.
Thing you wanna
do. This
is
where it sent me over the edge. And again, I'm not even saying this person's sex, because that's how anonymous I want to make it. The comment that this person
they suck.
was, I'm not seeing a problem. If you do, maybe you need to look in the mirror.
Okay, yeah, I'll actually say that with a backing now, knowing they said that. I will, maybe they don't suck, but that was a very polarizing statement.
Yeah, and it was this weird thing where and this person... It was very weird because I've my sort of rule now these days in social network and social media is ultimately boils down to, do I engage or not engage? Do I post a comment here knowing that I'm going to join this thread that I don't know if I want to be part of, because ultimately this thread's going to go in a direction that I don't really want to argue with? Because that's usually what it boils down to.
Sure.
Because usually I try to come in with some sort of reason, some sort of thing. Some sort of stuff. And usually it takes very specific things to make me do it. But then I know that I'm going to be on this thread for the next fucking hour or three, just wait, you know, saying like, goddamn response. And if I turn off notifications, someone's going to say, hey, jackass, you missed this actual fact that's important. Like, oh, shit, well, thank you. And so, you know, it was that weird moment of, and it was a Facebook post, by the way. It was that point of like, so what I've been doing now, And I thought about it because I wrote it. I literally saw it this morning, and I started writing a post outside of Facebook. Like, started writing on Byword on my iPhone, and just started jotting down my thoughts of what I truly believe, and sort of, you know, the idea that no, we do have a problem, and it's something that we need to talk about. And it started coming into my mind what the problem is, and I'm kind of curious.
Are you talking about the gun control issue or the polarizing the United States issue? Because
both actually.
Okay, because the gun control issue is really interesting, because we definitely have a problem, but the problem is it's kind of like AA.
Yeah,
we acknowledge that we have a problem, but we don't know what the problem is. So here's a question to you that everyone talks about. Oh, we have these rifles. We need to ban assault rifles. What is an assault rifle?
So. From what I understand, the definition of assault rifle is that it is usually a gun, typically in a rifle form, meaning kind of a longer firearm, not necessarily a hand sort of pistol thing.
Or we'll even go so far, because I went too narrow. What is an assault weapon?
Assault weapon, in terms of like
legally speaking, what is an assault?
From what I understand, and this is what I kind of glanced at. I'm trying to go by memory. Is typically it's a firearm,
sure.
Usually of longer caliber. I don't know if caliber is a term. What the
caliber?
What's the term barrel, for like you longer have, barrel?
Barrel length.
Longer barrel. Okay, it has a certain barrel length. Typically has a semi-automatic firing mechanism, not usually fully automatic, although some people have been able to convert them, because from what I understand, fully automatic is illegal.
So here's the fun part. I'll just stop you there because you've already proven my point. Assault weapons are already banned.
Okay.
Assault weapons are fully automatic weapons.
Okay.
An AR-15, by the legal definition, is not an assault weapon.
Okay.
It's not an assault rifle. By the legal definition, you can argue this, that, or the other, but legally speaking, according to the law, they are not. Also, the AR-15 is not a singular gun.
Right.
AR-15 is the X86 computer.
So I'm going to stop you right here.
Okay.
Because you have already done more than what I was actually going to talk about. Because what's interesting isn't this. This is what I want.
Yeah.
This is what we don't get. We don't get this. We don't get this conversation. We don't get this dialogue. What we get is that. What we get is the minute I bring up the idea of doing a discussion like this, of talking about this stuff.
And I'm very much like you in the fact that, like, I'll see something on Facebook and I have to decide, do I engage or do I ignore? And it's gotten to the point where there's, like, one or two people I'll engage with because I know I can have a civil conversation with them. Or there's another switch that I hit in which I'll engage, but in a totally weird way. So, like, a good example of in the totally weird way was people were talking about, why are they talking about her Hillary's emails versus Benghazi? Or why are they talking about Benghazi and not her emails? My response was, well, obviously because Benghazi is a much more fun word to say. and so, like, they're just talking all this policies. I was like, come on. It has a Z in it. Z words are awesome.
Benghazi.
Yeah, Benghazi. Zebra.
It sounds foreign. It's foreign, but it also sounds mystical. It's like Watergate.
and so like there's I have a fraternity brother that he's really good. He's hyper conservative, which is these days not exactly where I lean, but I can always engage him. And some of the times I just start the conversation with a little quote in quotations, citation needed. And the thing is, every time I've done that, he goes and he gets me sources. I'm like, okay.
That's awesome.
We're now on a, you can continue on with your day.
Which is sort of the thing. And it wasn't even so much, and that was my original kind of post. It wasn't so much of like, it's especially when it comes to gun control, at least as it stands now. We're at a weird point that there is a problem. I mean, it's become weirdly commonplace this last month of all the shit that's happened here in the U.S. alone. I'm not even bringing international.
I was about to say it's worse than international.
I mean, what's funny about international, and this is what really intrigued me, kind of got me thinking of this, especially what recently happened in Germany. They're talking about how to make their laws even tighter. That's the discussion. That's where the discussion goes. There's actually a dialogue is saying, how can we make this better? And I think that's what bugs me about here is that we don't seem to have, like I was glad we were starting to have a discussion. The only reason I stopped it was not because I didn't want to continue having it.
Right.
This was, you know, that's more than I get from a lot of people that are into this stuff. A lot of times I just get shut down. I get snark. There's, you know, an interesting art piece happens. Like, oh, that's cool. It's something that, you know, should provoke a thought, should make me as a gun owner or somebody think, yeah, actually there might be, and not the, I don't see a problem. You're the problem. Like, that means nothing. That does nothing. That adds nothing. That does nothing to further the discussion. That's just a snarky little pithy comment that came because you like to have a gun of some sort. And because you believe that me as a weird liberal wants to take away all your guns and completely ruin them all.
It's never going to happen.
No. I mean, even in society, even in where, like, the only places that have the tightest gun laws in the world are the UK and Japan.
I thought Australia?
Australia too.
Yeah.
Those three. Japan's pretty damn hardcore, but a lot of times the way they've done it is that it's almost kind of like how we've gotten in some ways to DUIs and driving on the influence, where there's no you know tolerance on that,
right? You refuse to do a breathalyzer and you lose your license for 3 months.
Yeah, you know, it's like what we've gotten with that is that you know, in that kind of regard, that we've, you know, in certain places, not all places, but a lot of places, we're starting to take that hard line of like, look, you get a DUI, sorry, points in your license, and you know,
it's not points on your license.
Yeah.
It's your license is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You
may have jail time.
No, you're probably.
Yeah.
Depends on how good your lawyer is.
Yeah.
And depends on how much they have on you.
Exactly. And so there's those sort of things. There's like those sort of hardline stuff on that. And not to say that there shouldn't be any potential discussion, but the idea being like in Japan, like they've taken that hard line when it comes to like if you have a gun, that kind of thing, it's hard line
right.
That. UK, you know, you damn better have that shotgun, you know, registered and everything. You know, you've gone through about 80 billion channels to get a
right.
gun.
Right. And I was about to say, because like, so the reason why it won't work here is because we'd need to do something like Australia or the UK did
and buy the guns back, yeah.
And destroy them.
Yeah.
And the reason why it works in Australia and UK is because they're islands. Like, at this point, I don't think, and this is going to, I'm going to say something that is going to spark a political debate that I don't want to go down this road.
Sure.
Because we share a border that is so porous with Mexico, I don't think that a proper...
Well, you could argue, you could also argue because we share a border with any nation.
Sure. I mean...
And the only reason I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, because everyone talks about Mexico as the common thing, keep in mind about not but a week or so ago, we had two kids wander over the border from Canada trying to catch that Charmander. Did you hear about that?
No, I mean, that doesn't actually surprise me, though. Like,
there are some
they're both, like,
you know,
what is it? I think
they're both,
our border with Canada is, I want to say, the longest uninterrupted border of two nations in the world.
Yeah, that's why. So, I mean, like, this is so...
Right.
Because I know you're like, you felt like, oh, I'm going to go down this weird political climb because I'm going to start talking about borders with Mexico. I'm giving you the other side is just as porous as well.
Sure.
Meaning that because we border nations.
I was also going to go down the road that we actually gave a lot of the people in
that
Mexico
too.
The drug, the guns.
That too.
That was more of where I
that
wanted
was,
to go.
Was
like,
what was it? Operation, was it Fast and Loose? Or
Fast and Furious,
Fast
I
and
think?
Furious, something like that.
Fast and Loose is probably a better name for it.
It was something weird. It was something like Operation This. We go see what happens when we give Mexicans we give drug cartels guns in the hopes we could find them later. It's like, what made you think that was a good idea?
Did you think that through?
What made you think that was a good idea? Who gave you the which boss said that was a damn good idea?
Probably the same people that were, you know, funding Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein.
It was one of the greatest things. It was just a thing because like when the other divisions of you know law enforcement like FBI found out about this, it's just like, you did what now?
Yeah. Wait a second.
You did what now?
Okay, can you say that again?
Because I remember that was the funny part. Was it like, I say funny part is like, no, it's horrible. But just the idea of like everyone else started finding out about it. Just like, I'm sorry, repeat that again. Who gave you this authorization?
But yeah, so the reason why I don't think it'll ever actually happen here
right.
is because A, it's, like I said, okay. we share borders with countries.
Right.
One of which we gave a bunch of guns to.
Sure.
And B, I remember like the... Love them or hate them, the NRA is incredibly intelligent in the way that they do their stuff.
Well, they're very well funded in the way they do stuff.
Well,
too.
No,
and
if you look at how much they spend in comparison with other lobbying groups, they're not even in like they're up there, but they're not the biggest.
Right? Okay.
Really, for them, it is so simple because all they have to do is get people to show up and say no. It doesn't matter what the bill is. All they have to do is say, "Be here at this time," and say no a bunch, and that's it.
Yeah.
And, like, they have enough people on their mailing list that'll show up and say they don't even have to know what the issue is.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, and like, the NRA is a unique organization in the fact that they're able to do that. And the fact that they, love them or hate them, and, like, I don't know where I stand on them.
I believe
at some point they served a very valiant purpose that I think they probably have strayed from. But it's
they gave Charles Heston something to do.
I recognize the name, don't know who he is.
From my cold, dead hands.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I have to say.
But, yeah, no, so, like, I do believe that...
They're made of people.
And
want any more Charles Heston lines I can give you? My next favorite one is damn you, dirty apes. Sorry, Charles
Heston. So you get... But then you also have the fact that we do have a very uninformed populace. The assault weapon thing is a very good example. Everyone also says, ban the AR-15. That also is a very... I kind of got on to the point earlier, but it is the x86 process. It is the personal computer. Because of the fact that it is, you can, you know how you build a computer, you can go out and you can choose your processor, choose your motherboard,
right,
choose
you can
your
build a, technically
right.
an AR-15.
The exactly, except for the fact that like an AR-15 is a weapons platform that without any with only, you know, maybe some minor tooling,
you
can change between barrel lengths, what kind of sights it has, what kind of round it, what caliber of round it fires. It could fire a 9mm or it could fire a 223 Remington. Like it could fire a 22. There's like 30 different types of calibers. It would be roughly the equivalent of trying to ban, you know, ban the x86 or ban an internal combustion engine.
Here's the counter you know response to that. Obviously there are certain aspects that the AR-15 model type, like let's take for example you know your idea, you know you're mentioning that it's like banning an x86 or whatever. If we take the idea that x86 is a
which in itself sounds like a really gnarly sci-fi gun, the x86.
It does. Like the, I always remember the DS9 episode that they just wanted to do a murder mystery, basically murder mystery, and they literally gave the guy a gun that, it's like, what is this? Oh, it fires actual bullets. It's like, why does it fire bullets and not energy things? Oh, because they needed to make it for some bullshit thing. They just wanted to give him a gun that had like a actual gun so they could do a murder mystery kind of thing. Fun episode. Because you learned that Odo read Raymond Chandler books, which is amazing. But going back to the thing, if we think of the idea of like x86 in an architecture platform, meaning that there's AMD versions and Intel and blah, 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 you can still put some sort of restrictions on things. Like, in other words, like,
I'm not saying, so that was my attack at, attack, that was my line of questionings towards the people that say we need to put bans on specific types of weapons.
Right.
As far as limiting the people's ability to acquire weapons or the process that they have to go through, I do think that that is a place that could use a lot of reform.
Okay.
That being said, I have no idea what the answer is.
I know, and neither do I. And that wasn't what really set me off today. Because yeah, I don't mind not knowing an answer. I don't mind us trying to all figure it out together. I do want to talk about it. And it gets to the point where I can't even utter a, because it's gotten to the point now that, you know, you have, and here's the one that I was really surprised the NRA didn't speak up at right away, and it really showed me their hand, was we had a man that was shot by a police officer that had a license for a concealed weapon and still got shot, and the NRA didn't say really a damn thing until like... You know, I'm saying, like this is
I'm
where...
I'm trying to remember, maybe this was... Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, no, I'm only bring it up because I don't want to bring race into the mix of things like that, but it was that one, I was like, oh, where's the NRA now? The NRA has always been on everyone, you know, was there when Virginia Tech happened, when all these other things happened, why aren't they here for this one? And it was such a weird thing to see this thing not... That because of who it was and because of whatever it was, they didn't jump immediately and say... Well, he had a concealed. What, you know, they didn't jump to the support of that. It was such a this weird. Because again, my real thing is I just want to talk about it. I want to have because I know that what I'm saying is I know that there are sane gun owners out there. I know that there's right. I know that they exist, and they all exist. They all are there in the world, and there are people who are gun owners who like would say, you know, yeah, maybe we should make it harder for people to get these suckers. And there are those who have kids that will say. That are responsible, lock their stuff up, will show their kid, this is a gun, this is what this, never fucking touch this, and you know, until I let you touch this, until we're at a point where you're old enough, because this is not a damn toy. Like, there are people that have those discussions, and I applaud them, I know they exist, I just want to talk about it. As a guy doesn't have an answer, and knows that no one else has an answer, that we should just can we at least get beyond this? Can we fucking have this discussion? And every time, and it was such a weird thing to see that comment, that little pithy, little snarky, bullshitty comment that just like set me off of like, I don't think you fucking understand. And I don't think there's anything I'm going to be able to tell you that you fucking understand because what this little art piece is supposed to provoke, the idea is we ain't fucking talking about this shit.
Right. And it's so, it's so weird because, like, we have instances in which, like, it is so easy to legally acquire these things, and then you have traumatic overreactions.
Right.
And so this is going to sound kind of weird because, but, like, the definition, and this is just one of many examples, and it's just the one that comes to mind, is the definition of who is in control of the gun and when it is in a neutral place can get some people into a lot of trouble. So I have a friend who is a felon, and it's because, you know, he did something earlier on in his life.
Life happens.
Yeah, and he's regretted it ever since. And so when we go places, he's like, can you leave your gun at home? Why? Well, because unless it is physically on my person, if it's in my glove compartment and he's sitting in the passenger seat, he can go to jail for that because it is in a fuzzy enough zone that a jury could be convinced that he was in control of it.
Even if it's on my side of the car and I get out of the car for a second, it's the idea that there is that little brief moment that if something horrible were to happen.
Yeah. And, like, so you have stuff like that. You have stuff like dramatic. One of the worst things that.
This is a safe place.
Yeah. One of the worst things that we've seen with all of the rise of these tragic, terrible shootings is overreactions in the opposite direction. So, when I was in the 10th grade.
When you say opposite, you mean.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
When I was in the 10th grade, for a science project, I built a taser out of a disposable camera. If I tried that today, I would be arrested.
For sure. Or at least, you know, given a very, very stern talking to.
Yeah, and I got a great grade on it, too. And so it's you get to the point where now you have these officers in schools, which isn't necessarily in itself a bad thing, but you hear a lot of these bad stories that come out of it. And, like, I feel like that if we had stricter regulations on certain things, and I'm not saying go in and have every gun owner be registered in a massive database. I'm highly against that. I'm very much, which is one of the main absurd reasons why I am so against the FAA's regulations on drones. But that's a topic for another day.
I'll just say this, the fact
that there is going to be a central registration of everyone who owns a drone that is publicly available, and yet anyone who owns a gun can, you know, be completely off the grid, is kind of fucked up. And so you have the fact that it is so easy to get a hold of these things that we do have to have these drastic overreactions in the other direction, whether that be the guard police, actual weaponized policemen and metal detectors at schools. It's just something that I'm glad I never had to deal with it.
I am too, actually. I'm actually very, very glad that because even in my neck of the woods, I lived in Flint, and I always remember the kid that had actually brought a gun to school. Like, and I wasn't part of the school, but it was like quite literally like maybe 30 minutes away from where I was living. I forget what year it was. It's been such a long time that I thought about it, but it's in Bowling for Columbine. They mentioned the story there. And you know, even Columbine, you know, I grew up during that era.
Yeah, no, that was the first one, wasn't it? Like the first big one that I remember.
Yeah, Columbine was a big one. And I remember a lot of that because I don't know.
I
would look really quick. Cause it's one of those ones that I can't remember. I think I was still in Michigan at that time. It's been such a long time since I've thought about. And I know it's weird to bring up Columbine, but it's the one that, you know, here it is, Columbine High School Massacre. It happened in 1999, so I was still in high school. I was probably going to graduate in about three years, you know, at that point.
I don't want to make you feel old, so I won't say where I was.
It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's the point being is that, you know, that was kind of, I mean, and again, yes, there was, you know, one could argue that, yes, there was killings before, there's always been this, and yes, there was, for absolutely sure. I will not say that there wasn't. But the scary thing is when it happens close to home for me. And at that point in my life, school was close to home, meaning that, you know, I go to school. That was my life. I went there and took classes and did the things you do at school, play Magic the Gathering or Euchre or whatever the fuck. And that was weird. Like, I wouldn't feel that way again until like the recent Colorado one with a Batman movie, because it was such a weird thing for me at that point, because I mean, I fucking go to the movies all the time. I'm the exact crowd that lines up and goes to those movies and watches them with friends. And you know, if there was, you know, nothing but just chance fate that it never happened when I was at one. And that's where it really kind of hit me.
Really, for the movies, there's only been the one.
Right, but I'm saying like it's that kind of movie. It wasn't like, oh, it was like midnight premiere, Batman, you know, lining up early. Like, these are all the things that I would do, that I constantly do. Like, I was completely and utterly appalled. And not because it didn't happen before, because every time it has, I've been appalled. But this is just this weird thing where it hit way too close to home, you know? And...
Man, I haven't been to a midnight premiere in forever.
Neither have I. I've been to a couple. I think the last one I did actually was with my friend. I went with... it was before the last Star Trek film. We had gone... No, I take it back. No, the last one... I can't remember. It was the last Star Trek film I did with my friend Harold. We had gone to...
The good one with Cumberbatch or the current one?
The current one.
Okay.
The second... Well, I haven't seen Star Trek Beyond. Not Beyond. The second one. The basically Wrath of Khan
2.0. With Cumberbatch, yeah.
Yeah. And before that, they showed the first movie, so we'd done that. And I think the last one, Brant and I... had gone to, it was the midnight premiere for The World's End, the last one in the Cornetto trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest thing is we saw Shaun of the Dead first and Hot Fuzz before us.
Yeah.
Because they had a triple feature. We were like,
so
we saw the whole Cornetto trilogy in one day.
Are you familiar with...
which is amazing to be. It was such a fun thing to be with Brant and watch the Cornetto trilogy. It's like such a great time.
I know you do the movie draft minute,
yeah.
But have you actually watched any movies with Mikey?
No, not yet, actually.
I'm going to have to show you the his At World's End video after we're done here.
But yeah, I realized I got a little serious on that part. We're actually almost at the hour mark.
I was about to say, because somebody called me like a half hour ago, and I'm kind of really curious as to who it was, because they called me three times, and I feel like I probably should call them back.
That's okay. We're going to be done for right now, and I'll let you call that, but...
Normally, I wouldn't care, but seeing as how, like...
No, I know. I realize that, but it was enough to set me off. It was enough to really get me thinking, and to get me what I truly believe the problem is when it comes to that, and I won't, you know, this isn't... It isn't... It's that we don't really talk about it, and that whenever one side asks, can we talk about it, the other side says no, and we never move forward, and we're always going to be in this weird loop that I don't know if I can handle anymore. And I know I got really weird and serious, but that's what's been going through my mind throughout this past couple of times, especially with everything that's gone on, is that like we're in this weird loop that... You know, it happens, and we ask, can we talk about it? And they say no. And it happens again, and we ask, can we talk about it? And they say no. And it happens a third time, and we demand, can we please fucking talk about this? Because it's a fucking problem. Please, for the love of God, can we talk about this? And I get a snarky, pithy comment that says, you're the problem. And I had enough today, I guess.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion, this wasn't a chill episode like you thought it was going to be, is it?
I had no idea what this episode was going to be about.
Matt, as a gun owner, thank you for letting me know that there's still sane ones out there. And thank you for having a conversation with me on this.
Oh, yeah. I'll continue to if you'd like.
It's okay. That's the weird episode this week, but fuck it. Matthew, thank you for being on. Tell people where they can find you online these days.
Namely the Twitters, which is Waffleophagus, which is the word waffle plus O-P-H-A-G-U-S.
Sure, of course. And of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. You want to talk about this episode, maybe you have your own thoughts on gun control, gun restriction, gun selling, gun owning, whatever that may be, gun related, even if it's just simply a... you know what, I really want to know how to modify this awesome Tommy gun that I bought from the, you know, this from the 1940s, and you're trying to repair it. Actually, to be honest, I always liked the Tommy gun, specifically the...
I was actually at an auction.
What is it? I forget the damn name.
The Thompson.
Thompson, that's right. The Thompson rifle, which is I always loved. Out of all the guns that I know anything about, I was always impressed with the AK-47. I know that's such an iconic gun.
The Kalashnikov.
Well, because it's such a damn well engineered piece of engineering.
Sure, I mean
that's like the only reason why I like it is this like beautifully weird engineered thing.
It's killed more people than the atomic bomb.
Yeah, for me, it's more of a like it was built to last in weird fucked up ways that they didn't even notice it was built to last in weird fucked up ways. Like you take it to certain environments where it's like I didn't design it to do that, but rock on that it works.
M16's the same way.
Yeah, it's the second time go around.
Sure.
Because, you know, its first implementation in Vietnam, it had a lot of jamming problems, if I remember.
Well, that was the M1 Grand.
Was it the M1 Grand?
Well, maybe the Grand was World War II. I forget.
Yeah, because I think it was M16 at that point, and it doesn't fucking matter. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on Twitter, like I mentioned. Of course, if you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, previous episodes, and everything else in this network. And of course, after you've done all the things you're going to do with whatever money you're going to do it with, if you have 5 cents left over, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife where you can help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. That's it for today. Until next time, I'm talking to the geek with something completely, utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.